Jason Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Monday. We're live at Duncan in Brentwood for our toy drive with the Nashville Children's Alliance. Let's talk some NFL with John McClain down in Houston. John, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Are y'all fired up at the Titans blowing that top pick and dropping into the third spot as it stands now?
There's two things. We're excited about that, and we're also really grateful that you decided not to opt out of this interview and pull a Notre Dame. So
right.
We really appreciate that.
Yeah, they were like little children in a sandbox, picking up their toys and going home because they didn't get their way.
Yep, pretty much. But I tell you what, I watched Sunday Night Football last night, and Houston continues to play very well. They beat Kansas City. I think it's looking like the Chiefs are not going to make the playoffs this year. And with the news out of Indianapolis, that's not looking good for them. So is it now Jacksonville and Houston fighting it out for the AFC South?
Let's be honest. The Colts were terrible before Daniel Jones got hurt. You know, so I'm not surprised. Their schedule, they've got Seattle, San Francisco, Jacksonville, and Houston. So even if Daniel Jones was 100%, I don't see them all of a sudden bouncing back from the rut they were already in and turn it around. They're going to be one of those teams that started really well and then crumbled for whatever reason. People figured out, beginning with Pittsburgh, that if you contain Jonathan Taylor and make Daniel Jones beat you, more often than not, he can't do that. So it's Jacksonville and Houston. And right now, Jacksonville and Houston both have one more difficult game. The Jaguars have a one-game lead. They host the Jets, go to Denver, go to Indy, host the Titans. So they should win three of the four, lose to the Broncos. Texans 8-5, they host the Cardinals and Raiders. Then they go to the Chargers, host the Colts. So I'm thinking they're going to lose to the Chargers, so the Jaguars would win the division by one game. If they tied, they split. So I don't have any idea what the tiebreakers would be. But an interesting fact, the Texans in 24 years have never been a wild card team. Eight times they've gone to the playoffs, eight times they've won the AFC South title. And one more thing about their defense that is fantastic is giving up the fewest yards a game since 2009 Jets and the fewest points a game since the Patriots 7 or 8 years ago. But in the two games against Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, they allowed 413 yards. They had no touchdowns, five interceptions, and the combined rating of Allen and Mahomes was 44.0.
That is, those are some interesting stats for sure. But, man, the fact that they've never made it as a wild card, I had no idea.
That's crazy. You know now.
I do.
People here are talking about Texans and Super Bowl. I said, give me a break. This offense is not nearly good enough to go to the Super Bowl. Look, what the offense just tries to survive and not do anything stupid that's going to hurt the defense and be as not really conservative, but you saw in the third quarter when they had -3 yards, if it wasn't for the defense stopping Andy Reid on 4th and 1 two different times, Chiefs might have won that game. But this offense is just so inconsistent.
When you look at, you know, and maybe the Broncos and Patriots are in their own kind of world, but when you look at the current AFC playoff teams compared to the current NFC playoff teams, I see a disparity. Like, I think the NFC is much stronger this year than the AFC. Do you see the same thing?
I do. I still think the Rams are the best team. I watched the Packers beat the Bears yesterday. They finish at Soldier Field. And there's nobody from the South, of course, who's going to do anything in the playoffs. And the East, the Phillies. The Eagles are just so inconsistent. And I know this. I wouldn't want to play Detroit at home. I wouldn't want to have to go to Detroit in the playoffs because the Lions experience their talent. But right now, it's hard to make a case that the Rams and the Seahawks are not the two best teams in the NFC and maybe the two best in the NFL.
Absolutely. John McClain's with us on the Chasing Big Joe show. I watched that Houston game last night, John, and I love defense. I love a good smothering defense. And I look at Houston, you talk about it, they're remaining four games to go. But what if that offense clicks a little bit, John? It gets a little bit better, a little bit better. I mean, can this team make a Super Bowl run? Because that defense and the way they get after quarterbacks and get after everybody on offense, it's pretty damn good. If that offense comes up a tad, can they get to a Super Bowl?
In a season like this where there's not another dominant team, maybe. They lost to the Rams at L.A. by 5. They lost at Seattle by 8. And they but the offense would have to be a lot better. The running game's not very good at all. And the passing game, and you saw last night, almost every good play Stroud made was on the run because the pass rushers were chasing him like crazy. I thought their offensive line took a major step back last night. They got really lucky with the two long plays in the first half to Nico Collins, who's their best receiver. But you said if Stroud plays a little better, their problem is in the red zone. I was asked on my show in Houston this morning what was the most disappointing thing about the Texans, and I said their embarrassing red zone offense. Going into last night's game, this weekend's games, the only team worse in the red zone are the Saints. That's embarrassing. That's utterly pathetic. And they still struggle up front. It's inconsistent, but I think if you're going to be a wild card team and play three games on the road, you're not going to win, because you might say the offense was good, Joe, for one game. Okay, you might win. They've never won a road playoff game. Every time they won the division and they advanced by winning the wild card game here, they lost in a divisional round.
Oh, man. John, this is not a football question per se, but I had a friend last night that went to the game in Arrowhead. He told me there's between 15 to 20,000 empty seats last night in Kansas City. What is it called? Are Chiefs fans just bored now with winning?
I think you heard them booing early on. I think some of it was the officials, but some of it was the offense, and because they just couldn't get anything going. That's the fewest points Patrick Mahomes has ever scored, and it's also the first time he'd been shut out in the first half of the game since he was a rookie in 2017, even though he only started one game as a rookie. So people, I think, understood it's a dynasty that's dying. Right now, they're way over the cap. The only team's going to be more over the cap is Dallas. So both of those teams are going to have to make some really tough decisions on veteran players by the time the new league year starts in March. And I thought this, Joe, they showed a shot from up high, the blimp, I guess, in the fourth quarter, and the stadium was almost empty. And I thought, you know, this is still a close game. And it never dawned on me there were that many empty seats to begin with. I have not seen the Sea of Red when it wasn't full since the year before Marty Schottenheimer got there in 1990.
Right. Yeah, that's crazy. Wow. Last night watching
89.
That.
Wow, that's a really good point. John, I mean, this could be a silly question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. With C.J. Stroud now in year three, when you look at the all-time starting quarterbacks for Houston, where does he rank? Obviously, I guess Schaub's in there, David Carr, Deshaun Watson, but where would you put Stroud at this point in his career with the all-time starters with Houston?
Well, first of all, David Carr would not be in there. And first would be Watson. Watson had games like – Watson had games his first couple of years in 17 before he blew out his knee in 18. And he was great in 2020. He had 3.5 what I call great years. Stroud had one great year as a rookie. Now, they made sure that Deshaun Watson had a much better offensive line. And when Matt Schaub was here, Matt had Andre Johnson as receiver, Arian Foster running back. Foster's the best running back in team history. 1 year, he had an offensive line that missed a combined one game. One guard missed one game. So Schaub did really well, too. But I would have to put Stroud, based on his experience, I'd have to put him third. Based on his performance, I'd have to put him second behind Watson.
Okay, that's what I thought you would say. That's pretty much on track. We'll have more with John McClain coming up next here on the Chasing Big Joe Show, 102.5 The Game. Hey. Got to have a fiddle on the band. We have John McClain with us on the program, as always, at 2 o'clock on Mondays. When you watched yesterday, John, the comparison between Shedeur Sanders in Cleveland and Cam Ward with the Titans, what stood out to you?
Well, first of all, Sanders has got better receivers, he's got better tight ends, and he's got a better offensive line. And the Titans have a better – I'm not going to say they have a better defense. The Browns have one of the best. But the Titans have a really good run defense. As you guys know, when the quarterback is the leading rusher, you got a problem. So I think Shedeur, you know, he's throwing long passes because he's getting time to throw, and he's hitting – he's thrown like three long passes – to Jerry Jeudy, and now that tight end, Harold Fannin, who's really an H-back, they're using him wisely, like he was used at Bowling Green, all over the field. So they got more talent, and they got a two-time coach of the year. So it doesn't surprise me at all. Shedeur Sanders had a better game, but you know what? Cam Ward won, not Shedeur Sanders.
That is very true. And you mentioned earlier about the Titans, you know, can possibly blowing the number one overall pick. I mean, you know this. Obviously, they need that, and they can use those draft assets. But to go up there and win and not luck into a win like they did in Arizona, what does that do for a team as you try and rebuild moving forward?
Well, let's see. Considering coaches won't be around, a lot of the players won't be around next season. It looks, you know, you're auditioning. You're auditioning right to be kept by the new regime, or you're auditioning for another job. I know nobody wants to hear what I say about the first pick. You can look at the Bears and the Panthers and see what kind of deal. If you know what you're doing and you coach them up and you have everything in place. You know, at this time last year, everybody wanted Ryan Poles fired as general manager of the Bears. And then he hires the best coach out there who is available. So there's a lot of things that go into it. If you're the Titans or the Giants and you have the first overall pick, you're going to trade it. You're going to trade it to a team, I believe, who's going to want Mendoza. The more I watch Mendoza, the more impressed I am, and I think he's going to blow everybody away at his pro day and his private workouts and his lunches and his dinners. And so if the Raiders – you know the Raiders are going to want it. They need a quarterback desperately. So if they could be in position to get him and not have to trade with anybody, but if they're sitting at three and they have to worry about somebody jumping them with the Giants, but the Titans really have taken themselves out of getting a sweetheart deal, it looks like. But you always want to win every time you go on the field. And it was, I know, a big deal for the players to win that game, and a lot of the fans too, but you might regret it in April.
Yeah, right. Crazy, huh? John, yesterday, watched the Broncos Raiders. Somebody made the comment that the Broncos were the worst 11-2 team they've ever seen. Mm-hmm. I asked for context on that, and they couldn't give me that. I don't care how you're 11-2, but the fact that you're 11-2 is pretty damn good.
You're right, Joe. It doesn't matter. Their defense is great. They've won close games in the fourth quarter. Bo Nix has not been consistently good over four quarters, but he has been great in the fourth quarter. And I know this, that game at the end, I've never seen anybody howl about losing money than Dave Portnoy from Barstool, who's caught saying Pete Carroll needs to go to prison and all these things. So he had a lot of money on the outcome that lost on that field goal at the end of the game. But the Raiders are an abomination. It won't surprise me at all if they don't fire Pete Carroll, start all over with the staff, and try to get Mendoza to be their franchise quarterback. At least could give people hope next year. And right now, all they've got is hopelessness.
John, I've been a kind of a secret, quiet Miami Dolphins fan for 30 years or so because I love Dan Marino so much. I think I'm sick to my stomach the fact that this football team keeps winning and Mike McDaniel is going to keep his job.
People knew it was going to happen. All you had to do is look how bad their schedule is. And once they went through that and they fired Greer as the GM about 5 years too late, and McDaniel's there, and they're Tua staying healthy, and they played bad teams, and they won. There's a good chance they're going to win their next one. Isn't that what happened last year? They won late to finish 8-9, and he came back. And I'm guessing it's going to be the same thing. Then they'll hire a new general manager off season, and McDaniel will be gone after next season unless they make the playoffs because the new GM's going to want his head coach.
All right, yeah, exactly. John, I thought it was a big win for the Bills yesterday over the Bengals. So when Burrow comes back, they're just a different team. But Chris Sims said something on TV last night which was interesting. He called Josh Allen this generation's John Elway. And he gave like five examples. And I'm telling you, John, they were spot on when comparing Elway to Allen. Of course, all Allen's missing is a Super Bowl trip. And I think that window might be shutting down. But he's such a good quarterback. As long as he's out there, John, Josh Allen gives that Bills team a chance to win any game.
If you've got a great quarterback like Allen or Mendoza, everybody says Mendoza, Mahomes. Everybody's saying, boy, the Chiefs dynasty's over. They're going to have to rebuild. But as long as you got a great quarterback, you think about everything. You can build in free agency in the draft in a hurry if you've got that quarterback. Think about how good Bengals could have been the last 2 years if they'd had, and I can't remember if they had Burrow for every game last year, but you see the difference when he's back. And in Josh Allen's case, he's bounced back from that terrible Houston game in which he was sacked 8 times to be magnificent. And I covered a lot of every Elway Super Bowl, most of their playoff games. And Allen is bigger than John. John was 6'3" and a half, and he weighed about 220, but he could run. He ran right when he needed to. Josh Allen runs more, and Allen is stronger, but both of them had guns because they had a lot of wind in their stadium, and they needed to be able to throw the ball hard. Elway's receivers had an imprint on their sternum that they would proudly show in the locker room. They had the Elway imprint. And so I'm guessing a lot of those guys have that with the Bills too. But, yeah, I love watching those guys play. And I'm like everybody else. If you get a good snow game where the snow's coming straight down and it's thick, yeah, that is way to watch football. Not like Jacksonville and Indy where it was raining and the wind was blowing. Give me snow. One reason I like those teams from the East and the Midwest to get the playoffs is we got a chance to see snow, especially back that last Packers-Bears game at Soldier Field.
Oh, absolutely. And, John, that's why I like when the Bills are building their new stadium they move into next year. They were like, well, why did he build a dome? And they were like, a dome stadium never crossed our mind. And playing outdoors in Buffalo is what we want. I just thought that's great. They didn't give in to a dome. They're still going to play outside where that snow's coming down. And it was beautiful watching that game yesterday. It was absolutely beautiful because of that snow. So you're exactly right about that.
Fans in Buffalo and Green Bay, the more it snows, the more they love it. If it's not snowing and the game's going on and then it starts snowing, they give snow a standing ovation because they think it's an advantage for them. And you noticed last night when Josh Allen was doing TV, it looked like not a fan had left that stadium. Now, there's nothing else to do in Buffalo but curl. And they love the team. And the fact is, they're still going to get some snow on them in the new stadium because most of the time it doesn't just come straight down. It blows, but they eat it up.
John McClain is with us on the Chase and Big Joe show. John, we appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Chase and Joe, thank you guys very much. I will look forward to it.
Absolutely. And again, he joins us every Monday at 2 o'clock here on the program. We are live at Duncan in Brentwood today. And again, the reason we're here is because of our toy drive. We're helping out the Nashville Children's Alliance. So you can stop by with a stuffed toy and donate it to a child this holiday season. And you can also qualify to win a four-pack of tickets in the all-inclusive 501 Club at Bridgestone Arena to an upcoming Preds home game. Want to send a special thank you to the Metro Nashville Police Department for helping us out with this. The Catalano Group, the Bluemont Group, Family Leisure, Thompson Machinery, Richmar Florist, Right Time HVAC, and Relidyne. For more information and a list of Dunkin' locations that you can donate a stuffed toy, visit thegamenashville.com/toy. We'll come back with more here on Chasing Big Joe on this Monday, 102.5 The Game.